twilit land and a long grey road winding towards the mountains. There's somebody coming down the road, clothed in white with a white staff. Gandalf? Gandalf. But I cannot see his face, and now he's turned aside. Gandalf? Or was it Saruman? There's Bilbo walking about his room. There are papers all over his table. He's gone. And that must be... that must be the sea. I never saw it before. There's a great storm coming, and a ship with torn sails riding up out of the west. A wide river flowing through a populous city. A white fortress with seven towers. A ship with black sails. A banner bearing the emblem of a white tree shining in the sunlight. The smoke and fire of battle, and a small ship twinkling with lights passing away into the mist. And that's all. It's over. Ah. No. There is something else. An eye. It's growing larger. An eye rimmed with fire, yellow as a cat's. And its pupil is a great dark slit. It's looking for me, but it can't see me. The ring is growing heavier. The chain round my neck is pulling me down towards the water.
Do not touch the mirror. I know what it was you last saw, for that is also in my mind. Do not be afraid. Do not think that only by singing amid the trees, nor even by the slender arrows of elven bows, is this land of Lothlorien maintained and defended against its enemy. I say to you, Frodo, that even as I speak to you, I perceive the Dark Lord and know his mind. And he gropes ever to see me and my thought. But still the door is closed.
She lifted up her white arms and spread out her hands towards the east in a gesture of rejection and denial. Arendil, the evening star, most beloved of the elves, shone clear above, and its rays glanced upon a ring about her finger.
Yes. You understand. It is one of the three rings which were saved by the elves, and which is kept hidden from Sauron. But it cannot be hidden from the ring bearer, and one who has seen the eye. Verily it is in the land of Lorien that one of the three remains. Of Narya, the red ring of fire, I cannot speak. Velia, the sapphire ring of air, is on the finger of Elrond. Nenya, the ring of water, the ring of adamant, is in my keeping. Sauron suspects, but he does not know. Not yet. Do you not see now wherefore your coming is to us as the footsteps of doom? For if you fail, then we are laid bare to the enemy. Yet if you succeed, then our power is diminished and Lothlorien will fade and the tides of time will sweep it away. I would wish, were it of any avail, that the One Ring had never been wrought, or had remained forever lost.
You are wise and fearless, Lady Galadriel. I will give you the One Ring if you ask for it. It is too great a matter for me.
Wise the Lady Galadriel may be, yet here she met her match in courtesy. Gently are you revenged for my testing of your heart at our first meeting. You begin to see with a keen eye. I do not deny that my heart has greatly desired to ask what you offer. For many long years I have pondered what I might do should the great ring come into my hands. And behold, it is brought within my grasp. You will give me the ring freely. In place of the Dark Lord, you will set me up as queen. And I shall not be dark, but beautiful and terrible as the morning and the night, fair as the sea and the sun and the snow upon the mountain, dreadful as the storm and the lightning, stronger than the foundations of the earth. All shall love me and despair.
The Lady Galadriel lifted up her hand, and from the ring of adamant there issued a great light that illuminated her alone. She stood before Frodo, seeming now tall beyond measurement, terrible and worshipful. Then she let her hand fall. The light faded, and lo, she was shrunken. A slender elf woman, clad in simple white, whose gentle voice was soft and sad.
I pass the test. I will diminish and go into the west and remain Galadriel. Let us return. In the morning you must depart, for we have chosen, and the tides of fate are flowing.
Now is the time when those who wish to continue the quest must harden their hearts to leave this land.
I have looked into their hearts. They have all resolved to go forward.
As for me, my way home lies forward and not back.
But is all this company going with you to Minas Tirith?
We have not decided our course.
Yet when you leave this land, you can no longer forget the great river. On which side will you journey? The way to Minas Tirith lies upon this side, upon the west. But the straight road of the quest to Mordor lies east of the river, upon the darker shore. Which shore will you now take?
If my advice is heeded, it'll be the western shore and the way to Minas Tirith. But I am not the leader of the company.
I see that you do not yet know what to do. It is not my part to choose for you, but I will help you as I may. I will furnish the company with boats. They must be small and light, for if you go far by water, there are places where you will be forced to carry them. Yet they will not give you counsel. In the end, you must leave them and the river, and turn west or east.
In the morning, as they were beginning to pack their slender goods, elves came to them and brought them many gifts of food and clothing for the journey. The food was mostly in the form of very thin cakes.
Crab!
No more!
You have eaten enough already for a long day's march.
I thought it was only a kind of cram, such as the Dale men make for journeys in the wild.
So it is, but we call it lembus or whey bread, and it is more strengthening than any food made by men.
And these will serve you for your protection on the journey that lies ahead.
Are these magic cloaks?
I do not know what you mean by that. They are elvish robes, certainly. You will find them a great aid in keeping out of the sight of unfriendly eyes, whether you walk among the stones or the trees. You are indeed high in the favour of the Lady Galadriel, for she herself and her maidens wove this stuff.
She is most gracious.
It is time for us all to go to the great river. The hour is come when you must take your leave of us.
I have brought you gifts in memory of Lothlórien. Aragorn, here is a sheath for Anduril, your sword. The blade that is drawn from this sheath shall not be stained or broken, even in defeat. But is there aught else that you desire of me at our parting? For darkness will now flow between us, and it may be that we shall not meet again, unless it be far hence upon a road that has no returning.
Lady, you know all my desire, and long held in keeping the only treasure I seek. Yet it is not yours to give me, even if you would. And only through darkness shall I come to it.
Yet maybe this will lighten your heart. For it was left in my care to be given to you, should you pass through this land. This stone I gave to Celebrion, my daughter, and she to her daughter Arwen. And now it comes to you as a token of hope. In this hour, take the name that was foretold for you. Elessar, the Elfstone of the House of Elendil.
Galadriel turned then to Boromir, and to him she gave a belt of gold. And to Merry and Pippin she gave small silver belts, each with a clasp wrought like a golden flower. To Legolas she gave a bow, such as the Galadrim use.
For you, Sam Gamgee, I have a small gift. Here on this little box is set G for Galadriel, but also it may stand for garden in your tongue. The box contains earth from my orchard. It will not keep you on your road, nor defend you against any peril. But if you keep it and see your home again at last, then perhaps it may reward you. Though you should find all barren and laid waste, there will be few gardens in Middle-earth that will bloom like your garden, if you sprinkle this earth there. Then may you remember Galadriel, and catch a glimpse far off of Lorien, that you have seen only in our winter. For our spring and summer are gone by, and they will never be seen on earth again, save in memory. And what gift would a dwarf ask of the elves?
None, lady. It is enough for me to have seen the Lady of the Galadrim, and to have heard her gentle words.
Yet surely, Gimli, son of Glóin, you desire something that I could give. Name it, I bid you. You shall not be the only guest without a gift.
There is nothing, nothing, unless it is permitted to ask, nay, to name a single strand of your hair, which surpasses the gold of the earth as the stars surpass the gems of the mine.
It is said that the skill of the dwarves is in their hands rather than in their tongues. Yet that is not true of Gimli, for none have ever made me a request so bold and yet so courteous. But tell me, what would you do with such a gift?
Treasure it, lady, in memory of your words to me at our first meeting. And if ever I return to the smithies of my home, it shall be set in imperishable crystal to be an heirloom of my house and a pledge of goodwill between the mountains and the wood until the end of days.
These words shall go with a gift. I do not foretell, for all foretelling is now in vain. On the one hand lies darkness, and on the other only hope. But if hope should not fail, then I say to you, Gimli, son of Glóin, that your hand shall flow with gold, and yet over you gold shall have no dominion. And you, ring-bearer, I come to you last, who are not last in my thoughts. For you I have prepared this phial. In it is caught the light of Eärendil's star, set amid the waters of my fountain. It will shine still brighter when night is about you. May it be a light to you in dark places when all other lights are out. Remember Galadriel and her mirror.